And this made big service was saying of him 936. Through all the changing scenes of life, in troubles and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Him 936. City and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard, to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. For the reading of God's most holy word, may God's blessing teach us to pray. O thou who art high and holy, O Lord God, thou who art the greatest, the highest and holiest, almighty in thy power, whom, Lord, is like unto thee, or can be compared unto thee. O Lord, do come in thy mercy tonight, for thou art a merciful God, and a tender God, and gracious in all thy dealings. For thou art compassionate, Lord, and filled with love. And we seek, Lord, tonight to find thy favour, and to find a blessing for each of our poor and yet never dying souls. O Lord, we seek to be blessed by thee, to have a rich crumb of mercy to be fed into our perishing souls. O Lord, we seek to be comforted this night, and to be drawn unto thy dear Son. We seek a blessing, Lord, from thy gracious hand, one of those rich gifts from thine that thou alone hast to give. Lord, we plead for those gifts, that we might be blessed in our soul and blessed in this life and prepared for the solemn day of judgment. Lord, we come to confess tonight again that we are a company of poor sinners and that we are so carnal and so often, Lord, lackluster in our efforts and in our will. Oh, Lord, so lifeless in our prayers, so empty in our religion. We seek, Lord, to be made alive. We seek to be quickened in our soul. We seek, Lord, to be warmed in our spirit and to have that true Christian fervent zeal, to be melted by thy divine love, to be constrained to walk the gospel way, and to have the eye of faith given unto us, that faith from heaven that may persevere through every trouble and every storm, persevere through every obstacle. Grant us, Lord, that grace and that faith. And with that one of old that said, through thee we did run through a troop and leap over a wall. Lord, we seek to give the glory and the honour and the praise unto thee. For thou alone art worthy to be praised. Oh, we would magnify thy name as we have sung this evening hour. And we would praise and exalt thee, Lord. Oh, truly give us occasion. Lord, tune our lips, our tongues to speak good things of thee and to sing praises unto thee. And grant us, Lord, that true gospel walk. O Lord, do have mercy on us. For we come to confess, Lord, there is nothing good within us, and there shall be nothing good found within us ever. Do implant that good principle. And grant us, Lord, that good thing from thee. O grant us thy dear Son, Jesus. And grant us thy blessed Spirit. And grant an opening up of thy precious word. Lord, we seek in this life to be comforted in our souls. We seek to be assured that we are on that narrow way. And we long, Lord, to have a confirmation of that spirit of adoption. We might address thee as our Father, our Heavenly Father, in childlike simplicity and in childlike trust. So, Lord, we ask for then thy blessing this evening. The word may be thy word. There may be edifying of thy people, comforting of the hearts and lifting up of the downcast, and encouragement unto poor sinners, that they might flee for refuge unto thy dear Son, and find safety in his wounded side. Lord, that precious theme of the blood of Christ, thy dear Son, whom thou hast smitten, and wounded and afflicted, and bruised so exceedingly. Oh, that blood of Christ that did flow out of his precious body to heal sinners. Lord, we seek to know something of the efficacy of that blood, the wholesomeness of that blood, of the purity of that blood manifest unto us. So, Lord, remember us all. Oh, guide in our lives, in our homes, in our businesses, in our paths. Oh, great God, thou knowest each one of us, and thou knowest where we live. And thou knowest all concerning us with our God. Lord, you come to dwell in our homes and guide us in life and make us a praying people. And surely give us that eye that does look up unto thee, waiting, expecting. And for thou, Lord, to guide, to lead, to deliver. Oh, that thou with that there may be that testimony in our families, in our homes, that thou dost abide with us. Grant thy love, Lord, to your husbands and wives. Oh, Lord, grant that love in the families to the children. Help us to raise our children in thy ways. Give us patience and give us wisdom. Give us much prayer with thee. Lord, remember those who cannot come and prevented from coming, and those that are weak and those that are sick. Those, Lord, looking after the children. And so, Lord, remember us in all our paths. Oh, Lord, bless us with thy presence, so that we might go in this way, though as poor pilgrims, yet rejoicing in thy rich favors to us, poor sinners. Lord, we pray for our denomination. We pray that thou might bless us. And we pray, Lord, that we might be preserved and spared in this day, and founded upon our dear Lord and Savior. That thou would be pleased to give much light unto our dear brethren preaching thy word. And that thou, Lord, in thy mercy might remember those in the mission field. Help them, Lord, in all their need. And bless each of thy servants where thou hast planted them. In the vineyard where they preach thy blessed word. And are dependent upon thee, Lord, for every word and every thought. And so remember each of thy servants throughout this world. That we proclaim thy wonderful gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, and of thy kingdom, of thy dear Son, Jesus. Lord, help us in this dark day, for thou art the same unchangeable God, and we rest upon thee, O Lord, upon thy oaths and upon thy promises, and upon the faithfulness of thyself, and upon thy loving kindness to thy people. And so, Lord, remember us all together. Lord, we do praise thee again this night, and bless thee, that thou art God, and our guide, and our protection. We do thank you, Lord, that thou art almighty in power, and all the nations of this earth are but dust in thy holy sight, and none can resist thee, nor prevent thee. O Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the sacredness of thy visits, for the wonders of thy visits, for the love poured upon this world and manifest in Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. We bless thee, Lord, that thou shalt save a people, and that thou hast a kingdom, and that thou hast granted thy precious word to guide us and lead us by that word. The comfort of thy precious word, the instruction therein. Oh, we do thank thee above all for Jesus, who has brought in peace, took away thy wrath, and bore upon himself all the sins of all his people, that they might be spotless and pure and holy, and wear that glorious robe that he hath woven himself, thy righteousness, O God. Thank you for him who taught, him who suffered and died, him who was crucified and pronounced guilty, him who took away sin and destroyed the power of Satan, who has the power of death, and ushered in the hope of eternal life. We bless thee for thy dear Son, and that resurrection power, life through him, his everlasting intercession for his people, for thy church. Oh, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that there is nothing left for us to do, but thou shalt incline thy people to come, and thou shalt teach them thy ways, and comfort their hearts. Oh, gracious God, who is like unto thee, thou who hast brought poor sinners they might come to heaven, and into thy holy presence to worship thee forever and ever. Now, O God, that thou might remember us, for we seek again thy presence, and we seek thy power, to teach us these ways even tonight. For without thee, Lord, and without thy teachings, we shall leave empty. And so in mercy remember us. We ask it all in Jesus' name, amen.
Continue with singing from hymn number 700.
and 73. 173. If unbelief, that sin accursed, abhorred by God above, because of all opposers worst, it fights against his love. How shall a heart that doubts like mine, dismayed at every breath, pretend to live the life divine, or fight the fight of faith? 773. I'm going to do something a little different for the next several Thursday evening services. We're going to go through the book of Jonah chapter by chapter. And pray that the Lord will open up this book and the truths contained in this book to our precious souls. To find some comfort for some poor sinner who may find himself in Jonah's straits. The book of Jonah is in some ways an exceeding different book. When we consider the words of a prophet and the word of the Lord that comes to the prophets and the necessity of the prophets to speak that very message of the Lord, believing in that word, believing in the commandments of their God and trusting that it is the Lord's message to a particular or a peculiar people. And yet we find in Jonah a very strange direction or a strange course in which he takes as the word does come to Jonah and as the Lord speaks to Jonah concerning a certain command. There's something in the actual name of Jonah. Again, so often we say that they have a particular meaning or a good meaning, a purpose in the naming of these individuals. We think of our blessed Savior, Jesus, and what a perfect name he is named. But Jonah means dove, or the root of the word dove is to oppress, as the dove is quite often oppressed. And yet we see the dove flying to safety continually in the cleft of the rock, and yet we see here the example of Jonah, an exactly opposite thing. What lessons Jonah has to learn in his life, of his own emptiness, of his own poverty, of his unwillingness, of his determination to have his own will in his own way, to disregard or disbelieve the commandments of God, and to distrust the love of God and the mercies of God and the kindness of God. Because this book of Jonah is a special book in that sense, as it reveals the great power of our God, the great goodness of our God, the tender mercies of our God to the greatest of sinners, working the most abominable of acts, and yet the message of mercy and the message of repentance is sent into their ears as well. But a chief design and a purpose of the book of Jonah is that he is a type of Christ. That he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection into the never-ending eternity or never-ending life. That he dies, he's 3 days in the earth and rises up in that resurrection power by the power of his Father. You think of that word in Matthew 12 when again the enemies of the Lord Jesus are mocking him and belittling the dear Lord. And then we read Matthew 12:38-42, I think it says. And it says, "And then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." And we see the Lord Jesus bringing in reference to the prophet Jonah and to the great city of Nineveh. And I find in my heart, and when you think of these things, I find two things. The first thing is certain that the book of Jonah is certainly a book that belongs in the Holy Word. It is part of the Holy Scriptures. It is that divine, inspired word from God. It is that which we might read and that which we might derive some sacred comfort and some hope from. And it was drawn to something I was reading this morning in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. This particular verse, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words, where all things are written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And I cannot help but think that there is something very special and something beneficial to our lives, to the direction or course of our lives, and to the often infirmities in which we are sadly affected, and of which one of the grossest of sins, and we sung it already in a hymn, is that of doubting. The doubting of the Word of God, the doubting of the commandments of God, the doubting of the power of God, the doubtings of the heart and the truths and realities of God. The doubtings of the prophet Jonah, as he sent to with an exceeding great task to it, to go to that city of Nineveh and to preach the gospel of repentance, to speak of the necessity of repentance, and to speak of the judgments of God to those that are unrepentant. And we see all these things in the book of Jonah. We may derive some sacred comfort in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacred visit of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to save sinners and to protect his people from all their enemies, and to deliver them from their own wretched hearts and their own weakness and their own doubtings and their own despondencies, and to show them the safest place for them can be in his bosom, in his presence. However hard the path may be, however harsh the task may seem, however difficult it may be, oh, to have that simplistic childlike trust in God and in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we might be obedient to his commandments and walk in his ways, and that we cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. We see these sacred truths in the book of Jonah, and we find them then in the paths of our own lives to maybe lift up our drooping spirits, or to give us in our hearts a little hope that as the Lord was in the presence of Jonah, as the Lord would not allow Jonah to have his way, that the Lord stopped Jonah, that the Lord brought Jonah to a repentant spirit, and the Lord made Jonah an obedient prophet of his. These things may be a comfort to us, maybe to those fleeing ones, those rebellious ones, those unwilling ones. Oh, to have such a God care for us, and such a God over us, and such a God knowledgeable about us, and all that goes on within us. This is, I believe, some of the precious lessons in the book of Jonah. The Jonah in his mind, you need to understand something of the reality of the Ninevites. We need to understand that the prophet Jonah was a weak man in and of himself. It wasn't that the word of the Lord came to Jonah here for the first time. Jonah was a prophet in Israel. Jonah was contemporary with Isaiah. We can read of the Ninevites in Isaiah 37, of Sennacherib and Rabshakeh. Now those generals that taunted the Israelites at the wall and mocked Hezekiah. We read there of the power of Nineveh, of the armies of Nineveh, of the conquerings that they had done, and the cities that they had leveled, and the gods that they had, the gods of the nations that they had supposedly overcome or destroyed. And they came in that contempt to the walls of Israel as well, to mock the God of Israel, and to mock Hezekiah and say that his God could not and would not deliver him from the hands of Sennacherib. And we see here something. Jonah's in this time, he's preaching to this people in this time, and we see that there is very little effect of Jonah's preaching to the people and into their ears. And now the Lord gives him a command to go to Nineveh, to go to a Gentile people, a heathen land, people known for their great wickedness. If you turn to the book of Nahum, Nahum pronounces the ultimate and final destruction of Nineveh. Woe to the bloody city, Nahum chapter 3. Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not, the noise of a whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there was a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. And there was none end of their corpses. They stumbled upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And this is speaking of the country or the city of Nineveh. This is speaking of the destruction of Nineveh and of the wickedness of this nation. This is an exceeding wicked nation. This is an exceeding ancient nation. If you turn to Genesis chapter 10, you can find the beginnings of the city of Nineveh. Already back there at that point, as a man called Asher was the one who began the building of the city of Nineveh. So it's a very ancient city. It's a huge city. It's a populous city. In this chapter, it speaks of 120,000 children that do not know their left hand from their right hand. If you study something of the commentators, you know that the city of Nineveh is 60 miles long or in circumference. We know that it took 3 days for Jonah to travel through the city. And one of the commentators estimates roughly 2 million people lived in the city. So it's a great city filled with wickedness and filled with the heathen people. And little Jonah must go alone into the midst of this people who are very eager to express their contempt of Israel and Israel's God, and there to preach to that people the duty to repentance. He's there to expose them to their sins, to the wickedness, to the evilness, and to their ultimate destruction if they do not repent. That's a great task. That's a exceeding great command. You need to understand it in the context of in which Jonah was faced with. This is no ordinary task. This was no easy task. This needed great faith and great trust and belief in God. And we see something here in Jonah now of doubt. Doubting of God's goodness, doubting of God's mercy, doubting of the purpose of the preaching of that gospel of repentance. I was reading the other day in the book of Exodus again. And the particular verse dropped in my eyes, God is gracious. God is gracious. Speaking of the laws of God, speaking of the holiness of God, speaking of the glory of God coming down in the presence of Mount Sinai. And then those sweet little words, God is gracious. You cannot help but think of it here too in the book of Jonah, the graciousness of God. The gracious dealings of God both in Jonah and in the inhabitants of Nineveh. In the guilt and in the sin of Jonah and his fleeing. And in the wickedness of the people of Nineveh. Remember this. This is the word of the Lord to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Our God sees all things. He sees into the lives of the people of Nineveh. He sees their actions. He sees what we've read in the book of Nahum. What friends, the Lord sees us too. He sees our lives. He knows your thoughts. He knows your life. He knows your desires. He knows the intents of your heart, for he sees all these things. And the cry of the wickedness of the Ninevites has come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And we certainly think that the judgments of God will be for the destruction of such wicked creatures. Is that not the way? That this Most High God destroys all the heathen nations for that time of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the gospel being brought to the Gentiles was not yet come. And yet we have here the commandment of Jonah, of God to Jonah, to go to Nineveh. And to preach against their wickedness. You think of that, my mind's drawn again to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see the same thing, the graciousness of God. We see the kindness of God. The wickedness of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up into the ears of the Lord, into the eyes of the Most High God, that pure and holy God that dwells in heaven and sees the actions of all the nations and all the people in every nation. And there too is the angel of the Lord visited Abraham, and Abraham pleaded again for that mercy of God as concerning the welfare of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we think of those words of peradventure there would be but 50 righteous persons in the city of Sodom, that the Lord would not destroy those cities. And the Lord promises that he would not destroy it. And you see Abraham arguing all the way down from 50 people all the way down to 10. And the Lord there, if there were but 10 righteous people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he would not destroy it. And it is bringing forth in a way of encouragement to our poor souls a good God and a gracious God. Oh God, that delights not in the destruction of mankind. Oh, that the Lord would work in our hearts a spirit of repentance, a deep repentance of heart and soul. That through going through the book of Jonah and going through the actions of both Jonah and the Ninevites, that we may grow up to a spirit of repentance ourselves. That we might become mourners in Zion, and they might receive something of that blessing in Jesus Christ, the one who suffered, bled, and died, and went down into the earth like Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights, that he might represent his people, save his people, die for his people, and rise again in resurrection power for his people. Oh, may we find some comfort in this book as we seek to go through it. But what do we read of Jonah? Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. When we began this, friends, let me not say that it's an exceeding strange book. Exceeding strange actions of a prophet of the Lord. Thinking of a word. Of a testimony. The difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. The difference between a true servant and a false servant, or a true minister and a false minister. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Speaking of those false prophets that did not speak according to the law and to the testimony and had no light in them. That evidence of a true prophet and of the true word of the Lord through a prophet. And I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. He gave that as a confirmation of true ministry. He says this, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we speak of the word of the Lord, and the confirmation of a prophet or of a minister as he speaks the word of the Lord. Sometimes the word of the Lord is a crucified word. Sometimes the Lord has a message to his children that is a chastising message, a rod, a rebuke, a reprimand. Sometimes it is that revelation of their backslidings or of their unwillingness, of their unfaithfulness, or of their perverseness, or of their rebelliousness, or of their carnality. And so many different ways the Lord will use his word and use the ministers of his to reach into the heart of his children and to convict them of their sins and to convince them of their folly and to turn them again unto light and unto the person of Jesus Christ and unto the direction of His holy word. And here we have here a Jonah, such a different spirit and a different feeling. He has a commandment to go and preach. He has a commandment to go and cry against the people and to reveal their wickedness before them. And it is from the mouth of his God. We read that. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. But Jonah was perverse. And Jonah was doubting. And Jonah may have been perhaps confused in his mind of the purposes of God and of the message of God to this particular people. And Jonah doubted. And Jonah, in some sense, didn't even want to preach the message of repentance. For he knew, we find that in the end of this book, he knew that his God was gracious. Do we not say that, friends? This book is a book of the graciousness of God and of the favors of God unto his people. And that he's a long-suffering God and a forbearing God. Is he not a forbearing God in our time? And do we not see something of God's patience? And have you ever wondered in your own mind, in your own thoughts, sometimes as you may drive through the cities and see all the people and all the cars, you see all the populated condition of this phrase around, you wonder how long the Lord will continue to forbear, and how long the Lord is waiting. Will the word and the preaching of Jesus Christ ever have any effect? Ever wonder that? For there will come a time in which there shall be no more preaching, no more opportunity of repentance. Will become a time when time shall be no more. And shall we be amongst that people who are taught something of the goodness and graciousness of God? But Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Who can flee from the presence of the Lord? Have we ever tried to flee from God? Have we tried to hide from His presence? Have we ever had a command of God? The command was too hard, too difficult. We had no strength and we did not believe it, nor did we trust in God, in His graciousness, in His kindness, in His goodness, in His favors, in His constant protection. His presence is the most blessed place and the most comforting place and the only place of true refuge. I know what it is to be a Jonah, sadly enough, and to flee and to flee and to flee from the presence of the Lord and to resist His word and to resist His commandments. And I will tell you this one thing, dear friends. You cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. If the Lord has a purpose for you, and if the Lord has a command for you, and the Lord has a direction for you, He will treat you like Jonah and deal with you Jonah-like. You may seek to flee from His presence, and you may be determined that you will not have this man to reign over you, and you will not bow down to him, nor submit unto his scepter, nor be obedient to his commands. And you may pay the fares with Jonah, and go from Joppa to Tarshish. But you shall see the hand of the Lord dealing in your life. And He'll send out a great storm, like He did to Jonah. And then we read in this chapter again, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea that the ship was like to be broken. And here we see there's such a perverseness in the Lord's people. Oh, they're such strange, strange, strange creatures. When Jonah ought to have been exceedingly afraid, and Jonah ought to have been a trembling creature, and Jonah ought to have been trembling in his very boots for what he was doing, and knowing that what he was doing was wrong, Jonah is found sound asleep in the ship. The mariners are afraid, and the mariners are crying to their gods, and Jonah is sleeping. Speaks something, at least I see it for myself. It speaks of what we said already. One of the purposes of this book is to show the infirmities or imperfections and the follies of even the best of men. That's how Calvin writes it. The imperfections and follies of even the best of men. And you see here the weakness of Jonah in his fleeing from the presence of God. Even a storm at this moment cannot awaken him, and he's fast asleep. I believe fast asleep is a condition, a spiritual condition, which all mankind are in. Not in this sense, but in a different sense. But we are not of them that sleep. We are with them that are awake. What of us, dear hearers tonight? Are we of the sleepers? Are we sleeping our life through with the in the midst of the storm of life, and all the tempests and all the troubles? It's a mercy for seekers. And it's a mercy if the Lord will send a storm and to awaken out of the sleep of death, to bring us to confess our need of God and of salvation through the goodness of God. Jonah is not going to get to Tarshish. The Lord is going to stop Jonah in his madness, in his attempt to flee. And I think, I believe, I trust, the Lord deals in such a way with all those that are trying to flee from his presence. And we will come to thank the Lord that he's almighty. And we'll come to thank the Lord for that everlasting covenant with Jesus Christ. Thank him that he has a knowledge of us. And he has not let us wander away out of his presence forever and ever. He brings a great wind into the sea. God is a God of heaven and a God of this earth, a God of the seas and a God of the land. God is the power of the waters and the power of the wind. God will stop his Jonas as they are considering to flee from his presence or seeking to flee from his presence. And the Lord brings this wind to break up the ship. And we see something here of how the Lord comes to teach Jonah who he is and what Jonah is. And when the mariners find out about Jonah, and to find out who Jonah is, he's a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. You see the confession of Jonah, who he testifies who he is, and who his God is. And I cannot help but say again and again, what a strange book this is in so many ways. And he knows who his Lord is. He knows he is the Lord of heaven and the Lord of this earth. He is the God of the Hebrews, El Elohim, the God of the Israelites. And yet he seeks to flee from his presence. How exceedingly foolish. And friends, maybe for us, a little comfort in our life, a little comfort in our feelings, we have to come before God at the throne of grace and to plead our foolishness, in our wretchedness, in our perverseness, in our unwillingness to be obedient to God. I often think of that word in the first book of Samuel, of King Saul. You think of that when you hear the bleating of the cattle and of the sheep. And Samuel comes before Saul, and what meaneth all this bleating? And then he says those solemn words that obedience is far greater than all sacrifices. That the Lord would reject those bleating sheep and cattle that were supposedly going to be offered up unto God. God had commanded Saul to destroy those cattle and to kill every single inhabitant of the people of the Amalekites. And Saul never obeyed. And the judgments came against him. Exceedingly tried at times of the rejection of Saul because of a lack of obedience and a lack of the willingness to serve God. It says there something about that disobedience is like witchcraft. Something. to disobey God, to be in that unwilling spirit to follow Him. It's like witchcraft, one of the most awful of sins. Where does that put us? Where does it put us in our life? Where does it put us in the obedience to the commandments of God? Where does it put us, beloved friends, in our spiritual life? And we see the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the tender kindness of God. Jonah will only go so far and no further. And by the tempest in the sea, the storm and the wind, and by the breaking of that ship and the casting out of all the wares, and the great consternation of the mariners, we shall see a profound wonder of God, His dealings with His children, His way with His children. How profound is the wisdom of God in this obstinate man, in this fleeing prophet, in this disobedient prophet to the commandments of his God. The men sought to row and row and row to bring the ship to the land, but they could not. Why? Because there was a purpose in it. Because Jonah had to be thrown overboard. Because Jonah was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that very act of Jonah being thrown overboard would come to be a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, and concerning the work of Jesus Christ, and concerning salvation through Jesus Christ, and life in Jesus Christ. It's not just the into the waters that Jonah was thrown, but that he was eventually brought up out of the waters. And so the dear Lord Jesus Christ, too, not only that he would die, but that he would be raised again on the third day, and that he would be resurrected from the grave, and that he would breathe eternal life and eternal power into his children, that they might be overcomers from doubt, and that they might be given their spiritual life within themselves to breathe after Jesus and to breathe after the ways of Jesus, in obedience to Jesus. See a preciousness in this book. In this particular, in this beginning chapter 2. We see that cry of the mariners, that they cried unto God. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. The marvelous ways of God. We already said that. God is the God of heaven and earth. God is the God of the seas. God is the God of storms. And God has His purpose in the storms. Then the storm ceases. And maybe we are in storms right at this moment, in storms in our life. Providential or spiritual, troubled, afflicted, tried, burdened, doubting, despondent spirits. Maybe that we are disobedient, outright disobedient, and know we're disobedient. Maybe that we resist God and do not trust God and His purposes concern us, and we see that one thing after another goes wrong. One thing after another is swept away, and we are emptied more and more and more. Maybe that with Jonah, we have to die to all the things of this world, and we have to come to that simplistic trust in God and obedience to His commands. So we see here, beloved friends, in this chapter some exceeding great comforts. That the Lord knows His people's ways, and that the Lord will never allow His people to flee from His presence. And that the Lord has a humbling effect for Jonah. And the Lord will bring a spirit of prayer within Jonah. He'll give him a need to pray. We will speak of that next Thursday, if the Lord wills, concerning the prayer of Jonah in the second chapter, in his great extremity, and that trouble in which Jonah is. The Lord will teach His people that there is no fleeing from His presence. And the Lord will plunge him into the greatest places of darkness and distress, to bring the prayer of the cry of help and the confession of God's goodness, and a plea for deliverance in it. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I just want to speak a little word, friends, of the great work of Jesus Christ before we end. It is, Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. To think of the purposes of Jesus Christ in the belly of the earth, in the grave, in the sepulchre. Jesus' death, the necessity of Jesus' death for Jonah and Jonah-like creatures, for the rebellious and for the perverse, for those who seek to flee from his presence, those that are defiled with sin. Oh, what a mercy. What a sacred mercy we have, the Son of God coming to this earth to suffer and to bleed and die. For the Son of Man must needs suffer, bleed and die, he said to his disciples. And he was constantly instructing his disciples of the necessity of his death, the necessity of him to bear the sins of his people. For who could bear their sins? Who could pay for their sins? Who could deliver them from their sins? Who could still the sea, calm the storm? You think of the disciples too in that ship, in the Sea of Galilee. And they're crying unto Jesus that they were perishing. Wherefore didst thou doubt, O thou of little faith? And then the Lord speaks that word and the sea is calm. Have the Lord Jesus Christ in his power to defend us from all the storms in our lives. And then to be that great representative of our souls, by the almighty power in him, to bear the weight of our sin and the damnation due to our sin and the curse from our sin. And we see something of why Jesus had to die. And friends, you and I need to know something. I'm convinced of it. You and I need to know something of the spirit of Jonah. We need to know something of our own depravity to value the sign of Jonas and Jesus. To see the holiness of Jesus as he rises from the grave. That pure, spotless Redeemer, leaving sin behind, having borne that sin and having paid the price of that sin. The dear Lord Jesus Christ rises out of the sepulchre, that holy Savior. That sinless, spotless, undefiled Savior. Having put away sin, making a show of it openly. Having put away sin, having borne that sentence of sin himself. Is it not a sacred theme? Who needs such a Savior? And when we go through this book of Jonah, and we see the graciousness of God, and we see the message of repentance that God would have man to repent, and we see the evidence of it in the people of Nineveh, and we see the casting out of Jonah out of the ship into the sea, and we see that the Lord has prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. It's filled with the mercy of God. Oh, the Lord will teach us to fear God. The Lord will teach us to know something of the holiness of God and the strictness of God and the justice of God. But dear friends, the Lord will teach us something of the graciousness of God, of the favors and mercies of God and the comforts of God through Jesus Christ. The Lord prepares. The Lord is forever preparing an avenue of escape. An avenue way in which we may be delivered from our enemies. And we may be comforted in the paths of this life. Often, I will say it almost every single sermon, we are certain to have troubles like Jonah. We are certain to have the doubts and the wanderings of Jonah. We are certain to have the turning our backs upon God. But we are most certain also to receive the goodness of God and the favors of God. Is appearing, is preparing a way of escape, and a means of deliverance, and a refuge in every storm. Dear friends, do we know something of Jesus Christ, the place of refuge? Has the Lord prepared for us that glorious Savior as our deliverer? Has the Lord stopped us in our madness, in our career to hell, in our foolish ways? Has the Lord sent a storm? Is the Lord working within us and teaching us these things and making us dependent upon him, showing us our own frailty and poverty? as the Lord giving us an occasion, a reason to look up and to look unto Jesus. As the Lord pressing out of our mournful spirits and our troubled hearts, the cry of mercy and pleading with God for the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. These are the sacred duties in the book of Jonah. These are the comforts that the people of God derive too from the Lord Jesus Christ in their seasons of great extremities. They taste something of God's ways with them in their own weakness, sinfulness, and infirmities. We'll end with this one text, which is very applicable to Jonah, and I believe very applicable to us. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's moved with compassion with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it is when his poor children, his bride, is doubting, fearing, trembling. He knows when they do not understand God's ways with them and distrust the wisdom of God concerning them. And the dear Lord Jesus is touched with these feelings. And I do believe in my heart as we understand something of these infirmities. And Jesus' knowledge and compassion of us in our infirmities, it will endear our souls more and more to the exceeding wondrous love of Jesus Christ and His sacred knowledge of us in all the paths that we walk in. The Lord will become everything in your life and mine, and we will become nothing, nothing at all, that all the glory may be of God. And I do believe that in this book of Jonah, we see something of the glory of God in His great goodness, mercy, and compassion, His rich teachings to Jonah, and the repentance shown in the life of the Ninevites. We will end there for this evening, and hopefully, the Lord willing, next Thursday we'll continue with the second chapter. Let us sing now from hymn number 295. 295. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. 295.
Almost drove me to despair.
passing upon our never-dying souls, that in the preaching of this book of Jonah, that thou might apply some comfort into our hearts, and that thy tender mercies and thy great goodness and rich favors to repenting sinners may be known to each one of us. O apply thy Son Jesus Christ unto each of us, Lord, and prepare us for that day, that solemn day of judgment. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Close the singing, Father 6-8.